Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 25. And the first version of the Psalm, 25, and verses 1 to 7. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 7. To thee I lift my soul.
To thee I lift my soul.
Well, our first reading is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and the last verses of Matthew, chapter 8, at verse number 28, we read to the end of the chapter. Matthew, chapter 8, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us off, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen on the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are constantly refreshed by the way in which the Scripture forces us to remember great and important truths. things that Jesus said and things that Jesus did. And from the whole of the scripture we learn the history of the universe and the nature of life itself and why it is that the world today is not as it was at the beginning and why it is that the world is going to be changed in a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. And this is the message that we have from that other world, where God is, the third heaven, as it were, the world of spiritual realities, where everything is perfect, and where every creaturely being, the angels in heaven, and the redeemed souls already gone to heaven, are all perfectly in harmony with God's will and God's purpose, and in harmony with one another. On earth we see disorder, disintegration. We see varieties and competing views on what God is or is not. We find in the church competing, sometimes angry competition as to the nature of the gospel, the purpose of it, the extent of it, the nature of the church, and so many other issues. We are a contentious race, O God. We are prone to not only depart from God, but from truth. We are prone to depart one from another. And we find a way back in the entrance of sin into our fallen race. We find the man and the woman there blaming others for their plight. The woman that you gave to me, she is the cause of my disobedience. The serpent, he came and he beguiled me, and he is the cause of my disobedience. And all along the life of human history, we find the same, blaming others, blaming God, blaming everybody but ourselves. Blaming the church, blaming the elders and the minister, blaming those who sit beside us in the pew and at the Lord's table, always reluctant to face the grim issues of our personal depravity, guiltiness, and responsibility. And as we come to the scriptures again this afternoon, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be united as the early church was united, and that as we have been singing in the psalm, we pray that we together would lift up our souls to God and sing his praises with one voice, with one intention, with one grand ambition that God's name should be hallowed, that God's kingdom should come, that God's will should be done upon the earth, accepted by us without demur, and done willingly by us without complaint. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, our need of the scriptures, because these writings are given to make us wise, to deliver us from our foolishness, our natural inclination to atheism, and to join with the heathen in the second psalm, where the heathen rage together and conspire together to cast off the sovereignty of God and to cast off his Christ and to desire a life of sinful autonomy. We acknowledge, O God Most High, that we are guilty and easily led astray. And so we pray that we would join in the measure, in the spirit of the psalm, in the reading of the scriptures together, in the listening to the word, and all as acts and all as expressions of a desire to worship in the gatherings of the church. We remember those who are listening to these services online, and we're glad to welcome them. We would be even more glad to welcome them in person and to see their face and to see and to hear their voice and to have conversation with them. And so we pray for them. And we pray for ourselves in these unusual and somewhat disheartening days. And we pray that we would remember that all things do work out according to God's purposes, and that God's sovereignty has a plan and not an aimless, excessive use of power, but the controlled use of purposeful power, implementing generation by generation the purposes of God. As we look around us in the world today, the demise of Christianity, the inclination of many to regard the gospel as the ultimate folly, and the increase of false religions, and the increase of naturalistic thinking. Help us, we pray, O Lord, not to imagine that these are the worst days that have ever come upon the church and upon the world. There have been far, far darker days than these through which we pass, and of far, far longer duration. And so we give thanks, Lord, for your sovereignty. We join with Jesus Christ today in his great prayer of rejoicing that we find at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, where Jesus rejoiced in spirit and gave thanks to God and gave thanks to the Father, from whom he recognized all sovereign purposes flow, and he gave thanks that God had hidden these things, the gospel, to the wise and the prudent, and that he had chosen to reveal them unto the babes, and he did so because it was pleasing in his sight. And this is our prayer of thanksgiving this afternoon, O God. We give thanks that there are people walking in darkness because they have turned their backs upon the gospel. We do not pray for their destruction, but we do pray that God's sovereignty would be accepted with gladness by us. And we give thanks too, O God Most High, for those who are seeking and those who will find the Savior, the babes, the foolish ones, the ones who begin life all over again. And so we are encouraged by the message of the Scripture on every occasion and in every part. So hear us, we pray, as we try again to gather here to worship the holy name of our God. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read further in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16 and some verses at the end of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, reading at verse 35. In the Acts of the Apostles, the last verse is 35 onwards. This is after Paul and Silas, you remember, had been cast into prison, and the unexpected conversion of the Philippian jailer. And the morning now comes. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, they sent the police force, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out secretly? No, truly, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. It was not lawful to bring corporal punishment upon a Roman citizen who had not been found guilty of anything. That's the explanation here. They heard that they were Romans. They had actually committed a crime against the law of Rome, the magistrates. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And so on. Amen. The intimations, next Wednesday is our annual congregational meeting, and there will be financial statements available for you to peruse, those of you who intend to come and who are here, of course. So there will be financial statements for you to consider. That meeting next Wednesday will not be recorded. So those who are listening in don't listen in on Wednesday because there'll be nothing to hear on the telephone link-up that you're accustomed to. So there'll be no recording of next Wednesday's proceedings. Next Lord's Day, the morning service, will be a recorded service, 10:30 a.m., and the afternoon service, God willing, as usual, here at 4:30. We are still under a kind of a lockdown, I understand. We're not wearing masks, we're not forbidden to sing, but we are being advised to remain distanced and not to be shaking hands at these meetings, so we will follow these rules. No shaking of hands at the door, not too close to each other, for the safety and the health of other people and ourselves, of course. The offering will now be received. Well, we continue in Psalm number 25 to God's praise and glory, verses 8 to 14. We sing these next six stanzas. God good and upright is the way he'll sinners show. Psalm 25, 8 to 14.
God.